capers are you planning at Tuesday City Council meeting? I haven't seen you at a City Council meeting yet. Have you been around?
No, I don't generally go down there. I think the last time I was down there, it's been a long time. I don't really get a chance to branch out that much, but I got to hearing about this absolutely sophomoric behavior down there.
You mean my raising my hand in a Nazi salute?
Well, that little temper tantrum, stomping feet and pointing at the door and all this. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing. Not your behavior, but theirs.
Oh, the city council's behavior.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
Well, you should have heard some of the... An earlier caller was denouncing me as rude and... a spoiled child, and just generally a bad boy that the council shouldn't be tolerating.
So the point is that they shouldn't be tolerating you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not supposed to abide their constituents, is that the deal?
Well, the caller pointed out that he felt I was doing my constituents a grave injustice by offending the council, and they had tolerated me just about as long as they could, and why didn't I realize that this was counterproductive behavior and so forth?
Well, yeah. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody got one, whoever that caller is, you know.
True enough.
May even be one. That sounds pretty stupid to me.
So you're planning to come down to City Council, and what in mind?
Well, I want to find out more about this set of rules that they have for the City Council meeting. I want to probably get that done tomorrow so I can make up my mind whether or not it's important enough for me to go down there for. But sometimes, you know, governments get so far out there that they need the attention of the likes of me. You know, somebody way down the food chain. But it seems to me that these guys may be real close. Is it true? Is it true that they intend to monitor speech as what you're allowed not allowed to say?
That's correct. For example, I was told that if I used the words Führer or flunky at the mic, I would be asked to leave the room and cut off.
Well, what if you say, fuck you, suck my dick?
I haven't tried that one.
I think if I'm not mistaken, and I certainly don't, you know, necessarily condone that kind of language in public for public, but if they're going to be limiting your speech, maybe we ought to find out just exactly how much they can with me, you know, limit mine. I think that unless the language is likely to provoke a violent reaction and intended to provoke a violent reaction, it's all pretty much First Amendment protected. Now, I'm not sure, but I think that's some of the stuff that's still left of the supreme law of the land.
We hope so. That's, I think, why we're holding a press conference at 6:30 on Tuesday with announcing the filing of a lawsuit in federal court against Mayor Crone and his council for false arrest with respect to me and a pattern of harassment, pattern and practice of harassment with respect to other people, if I understand it correctly. And then at 7 o'clock, there are some individuals who are going to be presenting a variety of free speech options to the city council in a non-disruptive manner that will enable them to just draw the line exactly where they want to draw it, so they can say, you can talk, but you can't, and that's okay, but that's not. So we're going to kind of assist them.
What is this non-disruptive manner?
Well, non-disruptive manner would mean, let's say, that you don't stand up in the middle of the time when someone else is speaking, interrupt what they're saying, and then persistently shanghai the meeting. That would be disruptive in my book.
Yeah.
But disruptive...
It sounds a lot more real than what I've been hearing coming from the city council.
Well, see, unfortunately, the city council and I don't really agree on standards. They have a different standard for what is considered to be temperate or intemperate speech. And actually, I'm looking right now for their decorum standards, which I actually made numerous flyers on, and I think I actually may have it...
Well, when talking to Kate about it, I understood that they were going to limit, you know, they have some sort of a set of rules for the meeting that have to do specifically with guiding First Amendment privileged behavior rights.
That's correct. Their decorum rules are printed on the front of every agenda, and I'm actually looking for an agenda right now.
Have they always been that way, or is this just new?
No, they've always... Fitzmaurice, I think, made some modifications when he was mayor. Here we go. Here are the
But they have decorum rules on the front of the agenda for the meetings at every meeting?
Correct.
See, I don't get down there a bunch. It's like when Kate was talking to me about this, I'm just sitting here in utter disbelief, because it's like, you know, I understand that the purpose of a meeting is to get things done. But I didn't understand that the purpose of obtaining power was to the end of deciding who they'd get done for as against who they wouldn't get done for. This whole thing seems a little twisted, man. And messing with throwing people out of a meeting because they don't like their silent protest.
Yeah, that...
I mean, you were too silent, right? That's why it is that you got arrested.
No, I think that there was the opposite, that if I had been even more silent, in fact, if I had not been there at all, I wouldn't have been arrested. That was their theory.
Well, silence and presence are two different things. I don't mean to be the one to point that out.
Well, I think that what they wanted from me was they wanted me to abide by their rule, not to raise my hand in the fashion of what might be a Nazi in the 30s or someone who is mocking the council as fascist-like in its behavior, which, of course, I was doing.
Well, how do they feel about a single digit extended high in the air?
You mean a sort of a traditional up yours, fuck you?
Yeah.
I have not ever used that symbol at city council, although I understand from Scott Graham that Charlie Canfield did in 1998, and he was not reprimanded for some reason. Of course, Fitzmaurice wasn't on the council in those days, so we didn't have our Ms. Manners making sure that the people towed the line.
Well, it might have been perceived as an invitation to, you know, participate in an otherwise blissful experience. I
don't think so,
Right, but I've often wondered about the particular gesture, but that was not enough to get anybody arrested, but that something that reflects back at them what it is that they're doing in the hopes of getting them to understand it.
You know, what might be useful for you to hear is I've written actually a flyer which describes some of the background, and I don't have much time on the air. Well, maybe I can do is read a bit of it to you and get your reaction.
Sure, go for it.
This is called Sieg Heil to City Council, No Way, Restore Free Speech Now, indicating that one shouldn't have to Sieg Heil to their decorum rules, in essence. You shouldn't have to unthinkingly and blindly follow that. But the flyer goes on to read, a practice of harassment, favoritism, and freezing out critics, unwilling to address festering issues of rent control, restoration of homeless civil rights, affordable housing, and other promises made during the 98 and 2000 election campaigns, city council members have become increasingly repressive, excluding critics' issues from the agenda. Under Mayor Keith Sugar, activists Ney, Silva, and Norse were all ordered out of city council with no crimes alleged or charged. Mayor Sugar specifically targeted James Ney to Sergeant Vogel in advance of the April 11, 2000 meeting and had him forcibly removed from city council for insisting, along with many others, that Sugar allow the full oral communications time, which he ended early. Sugar ordered David Silva seized, handcuffed, and dragged off under a 5150 psychiatric hold during the June 13, 2000 meeting for threatening to immolate himself as Sugar delayed and ultimately buried sleeping ban reform in violation of his promises. The psych ward released Silva within an hour as sane and fit. He is now suing council for damages. Sugar ordered Robert Norse removed during the fall of 2000 for making a useless yak-yak sign with his hand from the side of the chamber in a silent criticism of Mercy Charity's housing project supporter Tim Fitzmaurice.
Oh, this is the second. Second silent protest that you've been expelled over.
At least, yes. You know, I was also expelled for walking up to the mic after Fitzmaurice had said to Speaker Phil Barrett said, I'm the last oral communication speaker, may I speak? And Tim Fitzmaurice said, no, you may not. And he turned to Tim and he said, how repressive. And Fitzmaurice said, you will leave the room. And so I walked up, picked up my tape recorder, which was sitting up there, and said, that's Fuhrer Fitzmaurice for you, at which point he ordered me out of the room as well. So you've got to say that there is not the friendliest attitude towards certain individuals up there, a determination to use a kind of direct repression. Other instances of repression include giving favored speakers more time to speak, threatening those who boo with eviction, threatening eviction for using the names of council members in speeches, demanding that speakers not use the words Führer and flunky, having one speaker arrested for saying, as I mentioned, how repressive as he walked away from the microphone, moving public comment on consent agenda items ahead 7 hours to discourage speakers, giving an unpopular speaker only 30 seconds of time to comment on an individual item on the agenda, 3 minutes being the usual time, that was me, and interrupting speakers repeatedly under arbitrary and capricious standards.
Well, I'm curious. Fuhrer would seem to apply to the mayor because he, you know, sort of sits at the head of the council and all that kind of stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if... Do you suppose that you would be better received if you referred to them all as comrade?
Well, it's possible, although I think David Silva used the word Stalinist to describe some of the people at City Council and in the police department. He has never been... He was arrested, should we say, removed on a 5150, as I mentioned, after he spoke about burning himself alive because he was so frustrated with the City Council's... broken promises. He'd been sitting in meetings with Mayor Sugar around the issue of these safe sleeping zones, and Sugar essentially betrayed him on these issues.
He got a vested interest in the outcome of people that had been lying from the minute they took their oath.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just hopeful that there is this constitutional line, and not just you and I, but that also the courts and the broader public, at least part of the broader public, certainly not all of it, we've heard some critics today on the air, would support in terms of saying that, look, you know, decorum is nice for tea parties, and you certainly, you know, it would be better if we could have, you know, a mellow scene at city council, but the primary purpose of city council is not, you know, to give off a nice, you know, everyone with their hands in their lap impression. The important thing is that there be vigorous discussions, that the public be admitted to those discussions and a part of those discussions, and that's what we call the remains or residue or perhaps the promise of a democratic process.
Yeah, I was talking to it's a slight switch, but I was talking to the publisher of the Sentinel here last week.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
You mean, this is Tom Honig?
Oh, no, the publisher.
Oh, Bruce McPherson?
No, I think his name is Regan.
Oh, I guess I'm a little bit behind that. I know Honig is one of the main editors, but...
Yeah, you know, I think he is the editor, but Regan's the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to get to know him. He's a pretty interesting guy.
Hmm.
But, yeah, he was bothered about all those people down there at the mall that are, of course, at the foundation of this. And he's talking about how it is that it's not a good thing for the community and for business in the community and all that stuff.
Oh, all those street people and the hippies and the homeless folks downtown,
yeah. And I tried to get him to understand that the problem started a little further back than they want to start. And the reason it came to mind is because I was thinking here, you know, that the best way for a city council to have an acceptable forum and one where there is no, you know, outrage, which I'm sure what it is that they're seeing all types of different types of outrage, is to perhaps eliminate the problems that would be so outrageous. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm afraid that you're one of these utopian types. I mean,
I've been accused of being way optimistic.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you're quite right. The reason that people are angry is because that they're being treated badly, and there are problems that have arisen that are being left unaddressed by the council, and therefore, like wounds, these problems fester, and people get more and more pissed about them, or they give up on them and, you know, succumb to whatever they need to succumb to.
But children do that. Adults don't do that. That's the kind of thing that a child would do. That's why that was my reference so early on about sophomoric behavior from the city council. It's just like, it's hard to imagine grown people doing this kind of stuff.
Well, you see, I think the city council is laboring under the belief or the delusion or the conviction that there are numerous problems that they don't have to pay any attention to because the constituencies of the people that have these problems not sufficiently strong or vocal or together for them to have to address those problems. Homeless people, you know, are not a majority in the community. They don't have a strong lobby. They don't give a lot of money. They don't have a lot of votes at election time.
Well, yeah, but you can always say that these people are less vocal simply because they're not allowed to speak. Hello?
That's also true that, for example, one of the main reasons homeless people are less vocal in the evening session is if you want to get a bed in the Interfaith Satellite Shelter, I should say a space on the floor, you have to be there by 4 o'clock and you have to be indoors. You cannot even get to the council meeting. So.
Oh.
So that is, in fact, an intrinsic restriction for some folks.
So they sort of have ways of pulling along the this prophecy to make it pretty much self-fulfilling?
They are able to, in essence, they do not provide the kinds of dispensations that would allow homeless people to avoid criminalization after 11 o'clock at night. In Santa Cruz, it's a $54 fine if you sleep outside.
And that's basically because all the answers that they have to the problems they've created are inadequate.
Yeah, or they feel that we're doing the best we can, come back in 10 years, it's a national problem, why don't you, as one of the callers suggested, go to Capitola with your problems and address them, after all, they're, go to the Board of Supervisors and talk to those supervisors, they're a better bet, or, you know, why are you beating up on our poor city council, or the city council, why are you beating up on us?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's sounding less and less like I can afford to spread myself thin enough to come down and help those people. I'm having the similar problems with the people that administer the county, as you know.
Yeah. Well, I know that we would certainly love to have you, and I know that you're very good at serving legal papers. I'd love to see you serve some legal papers on these clowns.
Oh, yeah, and I really do. I mean, I have nightmares about the potential to ever walk in a room and be jailed for what I say when it's not intended to provoke violence.
Well, they won't jail you immediately. They'll simply tell you to leave the room or be jailed. That's their deal.
Are they just, what's with the Brown Act? They don't have any, nobody ever read it to them real slow?
I think they're aware of it, but they feel that unless somebody has a good lawyer and actually wants to take them to court, which may be happening, I know that's going to be happening under the issue of, federal civil rights violations, but maybe the state Brown Act will come into it too. They don't think it's important or something they have to address. We've been talking with Richard Quigley. Time is up, and I think we're about to get the next talk show host come barging through the door. So, Richard, anything you want to conclude with?
Oh, no, my friend. Let's see what the future brings.
Hey, listen, come on down if you can. If you can't, heck with you, man. You're under arrest.
I got some time to work it out. I'll figure out what I'm going to do, and you'll know. You'll be the first to know.
Hey, thank you for calling in.
Talk to you later, Robert.
Bye-bye. And actually, we called him, and as usual, I'm reaching the end of my show with all kinds of stuff undiscussed and lots of interviews unplayed, particularly concerning me is a situation I learned about last night, that Cosmic Chris, the musician who was ticketed by Officer Klein for playing in the alcove of the Jackson's Shoes, without any objection from Jackson's Shoes, is being pursued to Borders, where he was playing, and again was harassed by Klein, even though he specifically and explicitly had the permission of the Borders manager. Officer Klein went in and found that out, he left, but his superior, Sergeant McPhillips, came back and told the and gave the musician Chris the same runaround, the same threats, move on or else you'll get a trespass ticket, and a trespass ticket can be a misdemeanor, though I think his is reduced to an infraction. Which is its ups and downs, because infractions, you don't get a jury trial and a public defender. But anyway, this sergeant, not only when he heard the Borders person say, look, he has our permission to be here, said, I want to go to your district manager and find out about this. Now, I've learned that apparently Chris's ticket is maybe taken care of by some of the organization, sort of informal organization or lack of organization that has sort of grown up around activist Tom Noddy, who, along with other activists, helped put together the Street Performers Guidelines, which are a voluntary set of guidelines which are a substitute for legal action, which allow people an opportunity to work out their own disputes without calling in the cops or the courts. And I was pleased to hear that he was sort of trying to get involved in that, and I actually invited him to come on the show or to call in, but he may be calling in, but who knows, maybe that's him on the phone now. Hi there, Young Free Radio.
Hello, Robert. This is the Fiddler. I just have a quick idea.
Oh, you're not Tom Noddy. I can't talk to you. What's up, Fiddler?
I think the one thing that in the continuum will be allowed, that you're allowed to say at council, is to say, hi, Tim. Tim, I bought you some lemon squares.
That is probably acceptable. Although, no, that's addressing a council member by name. That's not permitted, actually.
Oh, okay. Council member, sir.
No, it doesn't matter. You cannot individually address council members. You must address the entire council. No lemon squares just for Tim.
Darn, so that means even if I bring lemon squares, I too will be arrested or asked to leave?
You will be asked to step away from the microphone and the podium. That will be I fear that will be your fate.
Well, it just goes to show you can't win for losing with these people once they take away free speech.
Well,
perhaps. Might as well just go ahead and, break out the bandanas and, crowbars and just get some squats going.
I see. Well, I we've done some sleep-ins at City Council. It might be an appropriate thing to do if enough homeless people are concerned that the council is refusing to act as it is on the sleeping ban. The council is a building that's not used at night and could prove a very sturdy shelter.
Well, maybe they'll win, and what will happen will be called a Fitzmaurice standard for free speech, which is the standard of obnoxiousness.
Well, he's pretty obnoxious. That's a sort of a cheap shot, but that's his standard. He has a standard that if he finds your speech indecorous, intemperate, I wish I had the exact.
Oh, that's a direct quote. No, he's the one who brought the word obnoxious into play. He said, if it's obnoxious, that's not free speech.
It's true. The actual, he had a quote in the Sentinel in which he claimed that I was intimidating people by my brief Nazi salute at the city council meeting. Made it an unwelcoming environment, and so in order to make it more welcome, he had me arrested.
And he said your purpose was to silence people. Robert, I know the show's in, and I just want to say one, I think that Tim is calling, that is the pot calling the kettle black.
I don't want you to insult African Americans on this show, so I'm going to hang up here.
Okay, yeah.
So, this is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Every Sunday we come to you from 10 to 1:30 in the afternoon, and sometimes we stay longer until we get kicked out by the next radio broadcaster, which is what we're doing today, although I'm starting to pack up here in anticipation of the arrival of Skidmark Bob, who usually comes in. Again, as I said, I'm concerned about street musicians being harassed on the mall. I had some great interviews, which I didn't have time to play, or I might say I didn't make time to play, since there actually is a 3.5-hour period here, but I should be back on Thursday, assuming I'm at large. Conceivably, I could be arrested and held. And if I'm held, I will not bail out. I don't believe in bailing. I believe in sitting there and going for a court hearing. And I'll do that if I get arrested again at City Council on Tuesday night. And I hope I don't. I don't anticipate being disruptive. I anticipate simply trying to use the First Amendment as the First Amendment is written and as I think the City Council has the obligation to respect. But City Council doesn't really get into its obligations much, whether it's to homeless people, to renters, to those victims of police abuse, or to people still waiting for them to act on the Tidelands issue, to folks looking for affordable housing, to those who want to see the war ended. Their responsibility is to kind of stop at the council door, I guess. They don't really feel they have any responsibilities there. Again, if any council members are listening in and wish to call, I apologize, we reached the end of the show, or will end as soon as this door opens up here, and I will be making a fast exit. Let's see what else we've got here that might... Feel free to call next show, is what I'm saying. If you want to leave a recorded message, if anyone's listening and is a little shy about going on the air, afraid I'm going to cut you off or arrest you, perhaps, or make you leave the room, none of which I can do, actually, or will do, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. If you'd like to, there's also a sort of a special HUFF meeting on Tuesday morning, not on Wednesday morning. Usually HUFF meets Wednesday at Baker's Square at 8:30 in the morning. However, on Tuesday, we have a meeting at 8:30 in order to discuss the upcoming council meeting and press conference that later that day. So come on Tuesday morning to Baker Square at 1107 Ocean if you want to be a part of this discussion. And come to the press conference at 6:30 in the evening. Bring instruments, bring sleeping bags, bring guitars, bring colorful signs, bring yourselves and bring your friends, bring a tape recorder or a video camera so you can document what happens. Documentation is very important. And if you didn't see the actual video record of what happened at City Council last council meeting Tuesday before last, March 12th, you can see it online. It's at santacruz.indymedia.net, www.santacruz.indymedia.net, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, IndyMedia. And there is a complete record of my rude and abusive behavior toward City Council, the brief Heil Krone that I gave him, the silent Heil Krone, so you'll be able to actually see that. If you want to support homeless projects, I should say projects of decriminalizing homeless people, call the HUFF line at 423-HUFF or come to one of our meetings at regularly Wednesday at 8:30 at Baker Square or on campus. HUFF UCSC meets every Wednesday as well at 6 o'clock on the second floor of the Student Center, and that's open to all members of the public. As long as you don't disrupt the meeting, you're allowed to remain, although we will, of course, try to encourage you to behave in a temperate fashion. There's also on the council agenda the final disposition of the camping ban corrections. It would be nice if we had enough people and enough enthusiasm to go to City Council and really make a large and persuasive argument for an immediate end to the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance, an immediate designation of campground areas, and possibly if they don't designate one, since they never have and they probably never will until the community does, we need to designate our own campground areas, and that's going to be happening at the summit May 3rd and 4th here in Santa Cruz. And for more information on that Homeless Activist Summit, 423-HUFF, 423-4833 is the number to call. I think we have an interview or two we're gonna play until the show actually ends by the unseemly arrest and eviction of myself from the free radio station. Let's listen to a few interviews in these concluding minutes.
So, three meals, one meeting, and the phone number of Food Not Bombs is... what is it now? 515-4480, extension 6654. Hey. Thank you, Brian. Oh, thank you, Robert. Any reports on the street about interesting stuff you want to pass on to the community? Well, they're pulling things out of the Poganip again. I saw that happening. I saw the Parks Department deputy out there with a wheelbarrow collecting stuff and putting it in trash bags.
Abandoned property, perhaps?
Well, maybe some of it was abandoned and maybe some of it was people's campsites, and I don't think they really differentiate. That was just last Monday.
And how much stuff did you see them, did they just trash it, or what did they do with it?
They just put it in trash bags, yeah.
So they
haul it off.
They weren't saving it for a 24-hour hold?
Well, there was no notification either. It actually happened last Thursday. I said Monday before. It was last Thursday, today being Saturday. And there was no notification given, no notices posted anywhere.
Did you have any conversation with these possessions?
The trash people?
Well, I was really angry at the guy, and I started looking through the trash bags to see if any of my stuff was in it or any of my friends' stuff was in it, and I couldn't find any of my stuff or my friends' stuff. But they basically, like, would take tents that were up and trash them and, like, break up the poles and
throw it all in a heap as if it was trash. So you saw tents with poles. What else did you see them
throw
away?
Those are vicious manipulations.
Oh, I saw sleeping bags.
Being done by the evil V-Man, who has entered the studio in a blatant attempt to sabotage my show. So I'm going to have to stalk off into the distance. I want to point out that I got a quick call from a caller clarifying and pointing out to the audience, properly so, that the dispute I had with an earlier caller about whether it was a seemly and appropriate thing to give a Nazi salute to city council is independent of the First Amendment issue. He agrees with me that it's a First Amendment protected right, as I understand it, or may be protected by the First Amendment. The question is, am I an asshole, a rude, a counterproductive person for doing so, I think, is the question.
Survey says?
And the survey says...
Hands down.
Well, we're not sure what the survey says. You can always phone in your thoughts. And here's a quick call coming in here. Is Robert an asshole? Yes, go ahead.
Cheesy asshole. Robert, you're more cheesy than, like, my housemate's cheesecake.
Well, that's
like,
very sweet of you.
You're really cheesy. And in a serious note, I think that... If you're actually trying to reach out to people like city council members and sway their decision-making process, in effect what's called lobbying, you know, I don't think you really accomplish your goal there because you tend to really offend people. Now, if your goal is just to offend people for the sake of offending people and being offensive, then you do accomplish your goal. But then again,
I'm a pretty weak-kneed offender. I mean, I could really do some crazy shit, man. I mean, it's a pretty weak-kneed deal to give a Nazi salute. I mean, come on, what is that?
I know, but you know, you offend everybody.
Oh, well, yeah, that's nice of you to say, but...
I mean, but if you really want to sway the decision-making process, I think it takes a lot more diplomacy and tact and really interacting with other people in that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know, remember, there's kind of different functions here. In other words, I think there are people who are engaged in the diplomatic process, but then there are those of us who kind of bring the issue to... It's more to the public rather than to the council.
Back off the phone, man.
Sorry, a little too loud there. Sorry about that. I have my technical assistant here.
So then we're in consensus that you're a good asshole. Like, as asshole goes, you're definitely an asshole on our side. You're our asshole, Robert.
Oh, you are. And no shit?
No, there's definitely some shit in there.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, that's the nicest thing I ever heard from that caller, and I want to commend. It's good that we're getting it all out, kind of, you know, making a clean breast of it, so to speak.
What we need to get out is you out of this chair, buddy.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave now. I'm being intimidated. I'm going to have to call Mayor Fitzmaurice, or former Mayor Fitzmaurice. Thank you for being with us. Tune in next Thursday, 6 to 8, for another edition of the Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.